All right, so we're going to start this off with some activity. That means that all of you that are not paying attention can pay attention now, even if you're coloring. Pastor Craig, I need you to get me a boy and a girl volunteer to do the game that I talked to you about. And Felix, I need you to get me 5 volunteers to build a pyramid up here. All right, so you're going to do that right now. The rest of you, what you're going to do is you're going to turn to somebody and you're going to tell them your definition of love. What is your definition of love? You want to volunteer? Go over here to Felix. Hey, Felix. His brother, I have a picture of his brother making this pyramid. Yep. There we go. Make it long enough so that somebody can get to it.
You be on the top. The only perfect.
All right. Have you got 5 volunteers, Felix? Huh? You need to find another one. Find another one. I need another one. I got to have 5 or this doesn't work. I could have 3 on the bottom, 2 in the middle, and 1 on the top. All right, so while they're trying to work this out, let me just tell you what happened. I was going to teach on the church from Thyatira this morning. I have so many notes. It probably would have been about a 40-minute sermon. And then I found out the kids were going to be down with us, and I was like, maybe I need to change gears. And then I saw Felix out there with all the teenagers who have attention spans of kids. I love you guys, but you do. And they're not even paying attention, which proves my point. And so I thought, you know what? We just passed Valentine's Day. We've talked about love in a very broad and general sense on several occasions, but I actually have a whole long series that I do on love. It usually lasts 6 weeks, but I have an introduction to it, and it breaks love down into 4 dimensions. I call it 4DL, the 4 dimensions of love, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of illustrate that today, all right? So let's start off with the fact that we just passed Valentine's Day. How many of you love Valentine's Day? How many of you hate Valentine's Day? How many of you just don't care? There you go. Very good. A lot of people feel bad on Valentine's Day if they don't have somebody to do something with, to go out with or whatever. And so I thought that this is an old youth game. Actually, it's interesting that you might have played this when you were a youth. All right. So here's what we have to do. So Kevin and Alicia are going to do this. You're going to use this aisle, however you want to use this aisle. So come on out into the aisle. Okay. Now here's your goal. Your goal is to pop the other person's balloon, right? Now, if you don't engage, but you're going to do that by stomping on it. If you don't engage, then I'm going to make you hold hands and pop the other person's balloon. Okay. So we're going to see who pops. We're going to see who pops the other person's balloon first. And believe it or not, there's an application to this. There were 2 heart-shaped balloons. And so Kevin has the heart-shaped balloon around his leg, but yours is pink, so that's appropriate, right? In any event, and that got me thinking, because we had these heart-shaped balloons up here, and that got me thinking about this this whole, really, sermon, basically. But I want to see if you can figure out how this applies to a scripture. It's Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Guard your heart, for from it are the wellsprings of life." Now, remember, both balloons were heart-shaped originally. This one is just a regular balloon. You might have heard the balloon pop back there and me say a PC-friendly, church-friendly cuss word, as it happened, while we were doing this really intense video about repenting. That's why I have to repent all the time. In any event. Okay, so I'm not going to let this last forever. I'm going to put a timer on it. So this is going to go for 1 minute. And if your balloons aren't popped, you're going to hold hands. They'll go for 1 more minute. All right, you ready? You got to pop his balloon. That's your goal. You got to stomp on his balloon and pop it. And you got to stay in the aisle and don't hit the baby and don't hit Jacob. Did we already move Jacob? Yeah, Jacob's like, yeah, no. Jacob moved himself. He's like, I know what's going to happen here. He's been here before. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, and go. Let's see if you can pop their balloon. They look like they're dancing, don't they? Kevin? Kevin, she broke your heart. All right. So raise your hand if you think you can figure out the application of the balloon game to guard your heart for from under the wellsprings of life. Can you figure that out? You figure that out? Yeah. Felix, what do you think the application is? Come up here. Felix teaches these youth all the time, so I bet he'll get it.
So as you can see, someone was like coming at her and stuff like that. And she was like trying to dodge and dodge and get away. So I guess like, you know, evade from, you know, things are coming at you in life, you know, like attacking you and stuff like that. You know,
okay.
That's why I got.
Okay, good. You could apply that to there are people that want to stomp on your heart, right? Yeah. They may be friendly to you, right? But they may be there to stab you in the back. It can also apply, had I made them hold hands, maybe this would have made more sense. It could also apply to the fact that when you're in a relationship with someone, you still need to guard your heart. You still need to be careful who you give your heart to. It's important. So kids, you might think, your heart, what does that mean? I'm not talking about your blood pumper. I'm not talking about that thing in your chest that goes boom, 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 boom. I'm talking about that place inside of you where you love someone. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard somebody say, I love you with all my heart? Yes? Okay. So your heart is where you believe. Your heart is where you love. You need to be careful. You need to guard your heart. Amen? All right. So that was that illustration. So now we're going to get started on this this introductory message to the four loves. So go ahead and put that first slide up there. There was an old song in the 80s called What's Love Got to Do with It? You remember that song? It's probably going through your head right now. Some of you are singing it. I hear you. All right. So we could ask ourselves that question. But apart from love, life is meaningless. All right. So three things that love is. Love is otherly. Say love is otherly. That means it's not about me. Say it's not about me. Okay. Love moves out from me. You got a lot of people that talk about self-love, but the reality is real love moves out from the self. Right. Love is unselfish. Therefore, say love is unselfish. And also, love is godlike. The scripture says that God is love. That's 1 John 4:8, right? That's why we love one another if we are in Christ, if we are in God, because God is love, all right? This is an interesting quote that I put, and I hadn't even thought about it this morning until I looked back at these notes, but this is a theologian named Miroslav Volf, and he said, from eternity to eternity, God's love is not self-love, but self-giving love. That's why God gives even more to the unrighteous. So God, the scripture says, Jesus said that God causes his rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's why Jesus said, go ahead and love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, right? They may not respond to that, but in the end, you're going to get your reward from the Lord, all right? So God is love. There it is right there. And there's a really cool picture that relates to it. All love, that is real love, that is truly love, comes from God because God is love. Say God is love. So if what you have is not godly, if what you have is not godlike, then it's not really love. I'm in love with you. Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm in love with you. Okay, but in reality, if this is not based on God's kind of love, which we're going to look at in just a moment in a little more detail, then it's not really love after all. In fact, a lot of times, love is not love, it's infatuation. Do you know what infatuation is? Okay, it's not based on self-giving, but it's based on what I want from the other person, all right? Well, I don't like you that way. What does that mean? I don't desire you. I don't want you. You're not attractive to me in a way that serves my needs and my interests. Then what you have for that person is most certainly not love. What you have is attraction. So there are four loves. You can put that. I had this really cool graphic that I got years ago off of a CD cover there. It's the heart with the cross in the middle of it. It's a broken heart where Jesus has come in and he's taking over the heart. So the saying from a poem is love is a many splendored thing. So what kind of love have you got? There are four loves. So go ahead and go to that graphic, and I need my volunteers up here right now. because we're going to talk about and show this. We're going to illustrate this very, very clearly. You're going to be on the top. All right, you're gonna build this pyramid for me with these characters that you recruited. Where are the rest of my people? I need six people, so I need three more people. If I don't have kids, I can get adults. This doesn't work. No, I need six. I need three on the bottom, two in the middle, one on the top. There we go. All right. Good. All right, so put my three big guys on the bottom. And Jacob really has gotten a lot bigger since the last time I saw him. Dang. I can get you in karate. I want to fight you. All right. All right, not yet. So this is the bottom level or the bottom layer, and that's agape. Say agape. All right, here's the middle layer right here to our pyramid, right? Agape is God love. Say agape is God love. All right, so you build on top of agape with philos. Philos is the Greek word for friend. Say philos. So this is friendship love. The word for it is philia. And then on the very top and very rare and very inappropriate for a child, but nonetheless, is eros. Say eros. Very exclusive, just between one man and one woman for life. So what's this layer? What's this layer? Eros. Good. All right, don't fall down. And let's take it all apart. All right, good. Thank you for my dudes for volunteering, the big guys. I don't know if you guys remember Michael or not. He was in our church back when he was a little skinny 14-year-old. He's a big wrestler. He's actually done professional wrestling, so it's very cool. Okay, so you look at my graphic up here. This is actually, all right, somebody who knows sign language know what this is saying? I love you. Okay, and it's just hands that are making the things. Never mind. It's not sign language. There you go. That's it. I love you. That's what it is. Thank you. All right, now we didn't talk about storge, but I'll tell you why we didn't put that in the pyramid in just a minute, because you find storge in all of the other levels, right? So the first one was agape, philos, eros. You said all of those. Say, now this other one is storge. Say storge. These are all Greek words. These ideas didn't just come out of my mind and percolate up, and I didn't look in the Bible and it said, oh, this kind of love. This actually comes from C.S. Lewis, who wrote a book called The Four Loves, and I can recommend it to you. Now, the language there and the illustrations and so forth are probably not going to be relevant to you, but I think if you want to dig deeper into this, then you can take a look at what C.S. Lewis had to say, okay? You're going to skip over that slide that says the eight parameters. And we're just going to go to the grid. That's what I would like you to do, is go to that grid. All right. There we go. That's the grid. Excellent. And you know what? I bought a laser pointer. And buddy, this laser pointer is intense, man. It really is intense. But it's got this really cool top on it that I need to get rid of. All right, here we go. And it's green. Let's see if I can do this. I know. Oh, look at how bright that is. All right, so the first one is agape. Say agape. The types of relationships that agape is for. Essentially, agape is unconditional and it is universal. So that means that every relationship should be based around agape, because agape is God kind of love. So this would be a peer, a coworker, an acquaintance, a neighbor, even an enemy. There is a continuum that we can look at love on, where one, the purest kind of love is all gift oriented. It's all giving. It's not what I want at all. It's completely what the other person needs. Not what they want, but what they need. All right. So on that continuum, it is purely gift love. The purpose is personal relationships. The scope, as I said, is universal. The condition, it's unconditional, and the commitment. That's the definition, right? Love is acting in the best interest of the beloved. Amen? So what I'm looking at is I'm looking at what is your need legitimately? Can I meet that need? I may not have any feeling of affection towards you at all, but I see that you have a need and I want to help you. That's what this kind of love is all about, okay? So I told you that affection fits into all of these. Storge is affection, okay? So what's the right type of affection for agape love for these sorts of relationships right here? If it's a peer or a coworker, I don't want to just run up and kiss them, do I? No, that's disturbing, actually, okay? I might hug them. Right? I'm like, you know, it's possible. You know, I really enjoy being around that person, to kind of give them a sort of a side hug right there. But ladies, you in particular know that if you've got a coworker, especially let's say a boss that's coming on to you and he wants to give you a big front hug, that's not appropriate, is it? No, there's something wrong there, isn't there? Okay. So here the thing, eye contact, a smile, a handshake, a pat on the back. You know, just acknowledging somebody can express love. When you're just so all caught up in your own feels that you don't acknowledge somebody else, right? Then you stay in your darkness and they stay in their darkness. Look up, smile, say hello. Give them a little head nod or a head bob. I can't tell you how many times people are even coming into church on Sunday morning and they're just like looking down at the ground and whatever, okay? So the next level is philos. Say philos, all right? Now that's the Greek word for friend. The word for love in the Greek language that's this type of love is philia, okay? But I put the Greek word for friend. So this is for family, for friends, and all for dates. Now, you're going to notice, I'm not going to get into this deeply, that if someone is your boyfriend or your girlfriend, it's not down here oriented toward sex. It is up here oriented toward friendship. I'm going to tell you this. If your relationship is just based on physical stuff, it's not going to last, okay? You start learning about having the right kind of relationships when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, and you learn how to have friends, right? So the need gift continuum, it's right in the middle. They're meeting your needs, you're meeting their needs. It's about companionship. And the scope is, should everybody be your friend? No, should you be friends with just anybody? This is where guard your heart, for from where the wellsprings of life come. There are people that will absolutely stomp on your heart. And it may be an opposite sex thing, okay? As in opposite gender, right? Or it can be like someone who is supposed to be your friend, right? But they're still betraying you. They're stabbing you in the back. They don't treat you right. Friendship fundamentally has to have trust between those two people. Now, I have this whole breakdown on friendship love, and I'm not going to get into that. But it is selective, and you should be selective. Now, here are the characteristics. There needs to be likeness. You need to have something that is alike. There needs to be mutual respect, trust, as I just mentioned, and mutual self-disclosure. So if you're always opening your heart up to this person that's your friend and they're never saying anything about themselves to you, that's an uneven relationship. You should start getting suspicious. There's a problem there, okay? All right, and then eros. This is where we're all messed up in our culture. Okay, this is just, and I'm going to be very careful because we have our kids in the room, but this is the kind of love that is only to be had between a man and a woman who are dedicated to one another for life in marriage. Amen? And this is where we've just lost it. Okay, we have a type of intimacy or storge affection that goes beyond the bounds of the type of love that it should be in. Okay. And people are just using the other person to get what they desire. Oh, I'm attracted to you, so I want something out of you. And it's not even love. But even if it is love, you say, well, I really fell in love with this person. Then why don't you start taking the steps toward marriage? Well, and you know, I'm not ready for that yet. Then you're not ready for the intimacy that is involved or should be between married people. Okay. It's only between a husband and wife. It is need-oriented, but it moves toward gift orientation. It's about intimacy. The purpose is intimacy. It is exclusive. That means you don't share it, right? The kids in the room won't understand this anyway, but open marriage is nonsense. Amen? Okay, the whole kerfluffle that happened at the Oscars last year, where Will Smith climbed up on stage and slapped Chris Rock across the face, that goes all the way back to his wife participating in an open marriage situation. I won't get into it. You may already know the details. It's not God's plan. When you stand up there and say, I do, and I commit my life to you, you're committing your life to that person and that person only in this intimate area. Marriage is the commitment, sex is the affection. And so I didn't look at this, and this is actually quite important, and I'm sorry I haven't been going over this, okay? This is the normal distance that you will have between you and a person in this type of relationship, okay? In an agape relationship, right? Just the base relationship. The distance is over 4 feet, all right? So let me think about somebody in this room. Okay, Felix is a good guy, and I can bring him up here. So come up here, Felix. All right? So come up here on the stage. Stop. Yame. So if we're talking, all right, you and I know each other fairly well. If we're talking and I'm standing this far away from you, would you detect that something was wrong with our relationship? You wouldn't? Because Felix doesn't care. If Felix would not approach me any closer than this, I would wonder whether Felix actually liked me. Now, do you feel uncomfortable right now? Just a slight bit? Do you feel uncomfortable now, Felix? Felix is a strange bird. I shouldn't have brought him up here. Okay. All right, so the point is, this is public distance in our culture. Now, in other cultures, this changes, but this is public distance. Do y'all remember COVID? Oh, yeah, that stunk, right? How far apart were we supposed to stand in COVID? 6 feet, that's this far apart right here, because we didn't want to share germs. There's a reason for this, though, okay? I teach this in karate. There are four zones. That's what I call them, four zones, okay? Zone four is from 4 feet out. Why? Right here. Felix, if I did not step, could I punch you right now? No, if I didn't step, can't punch you. If I did not step, could I kick you right now? No. Now, that's zone four. That's where you want to keep people that you don't know. Honestly, don't let people step here. Can I punch you now? Yeah. Not yet. Maybe in the arm. Can I kick you now? Zone two. Now can I punch you? Two, because it's 2 feet. Boom. Okay. And then zone one, which is grappling distance. Okay. That's where I can move in and grapple. Actually, zone one is more elbows and knees. Okay. So you can understand. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. So friends right here are going to be between 2 and 4 feet. That's so we can communicate easily. Okay, you trust a friend, so you can reach out and you can touch a friend, right? But if somebody says, you know, these two people, and they say that they're friends, but if they're constantly less than 2 feet apart, they are more than friends. Now, this breaks down when it concerns family relationships, which are actually philos, but they are inherently closer, especially with a mom. You literally came out of your mother's body, so you're not going to be terribly concerned if you're inside 2 feet. But the standard distance that you're comfortable with, right, if you're in a friendship relationship, is about 2 feet, right? In fact, if you sit down and someone is your friend, will you sit next to them? Yeah, pretty typically, right? If they sit 2 seats over from you, then that indicates that there's something wrong with the friendship and we're over here, okay? All right, so that helps you break down what we're talking about there. Let's go back and we'll talk about this in just a little bit more detail here. Let's go back up and let's look at agape, and there's a slide for that, ladies, agape, okay? So here you see what I said on the grid broken down, okay? Now, what I want to concentrate on now is storge, because there's an appropriate type of affection that will be shared in each of these relationships. Now, I did this with agape there, but I add the handshake here. Okay, this is what we do in church right here. Okay. So when we say greet one another, you know, go ahead and greet one another in the name of the Lord. If you know somebody in the building, then you probably give them a side hug. Or if it's an old friend or whatever, you know, probably give them some sort of a hug. Or if you really, really know them and trust them, you know, a front hug is okay. But let me just say this, okay? I'm just going to say this and you'll like it or you won't like it, okay? If you're a male in this room, raise your hand. Good, okay? You don't need to be giving any female a front hug, period, unless she's your wife. You don't. Okay? A handshake, okay? If there is something that is appropriate to be shared with a woman, all right, it should be up here on the shoulders, okay? A shoulder squeeze, okay? That's what needs to happen. Nothing frontal at all. You want to stay out of trouble? Listen to me. You really need to listen to me. And ladies, you don't need to be letting guys get in that position with you. All right, let's go to Philos. So again, yeah, there it is. Here's the affection here. You can obviously hug a friend, right? Again, even if you're a male and this is a female, and honestly, in our culture where men are attracted to men, I think even then, you don't need to be giving front hugs if there's any suspicion whatsoever that there might be attraction to you from that same-sex person, okay? Or you may be struggling with same-sex attraction. If you have that same-sex attraction, then you don't need to be doing front hugs with other males, okay? Because there may be something communicated there that doesn't need to be communicated there. That's the purpose of this, okay? So a handshake can be an appropriate affection, a hug, even a kiss. Now, this is something that would be more shared within a family, okay? How many of you kids, do you still get a kiss from your mom? Yeah? All the dudes are like, no, we're too tough for that. We ain't getting no kisses from the mom. Whatever. What, Adrian, I bet your mom grabs you up and gives you a big old kiss on the cheek. I bet you give this guy a kiss, don't you? Like all the time. Yeah, and you were over there like you weren't. Don't look down at that light. All right. Because it's appropriate. All right. It's appropriate to be closer with your kids. So this is the type of affection that is appropriate for that relationship. All right. Let's go to Eros. Okay. This is the only one that sex is appropriate. Right. So again, kids are in the room, so I'm not going to go into details here, but you know, you've heard this word. It's not like I'm telling you something that you've never heard before. If you don't understand it, then you can talk to your parents about it because I'm not going to talk to you about this. But the reality is, kids in particular, you need to guard your body. I'm going to tell you something, kids. Every kid in this room, if you're a kid in this room, raise your hand. If you're a kid in this room, raise your hand. I do not, under any circumstances, want you to let an adult that you do not know get close to you physically. I don't. If your parents trust them, then you can trust them. But if you've got somebody that comes and they get all close to you and they're nice to you, maybe they give you candy, right? Maybe they give you something that you really, really like. They offer you gifts and all this sort of stuff. They may be wanting something from you that you can't even understand yet. You need to be very careful. You need to, if there's a situation where an adult gets, or an older kid, or a teenager gets physically close to you, you say, I'm not comfortable with that. And back up. Okay, if you're in my karate club, I teach you to do this anyway, right? You're standing here, they get close to you, what do I teach you to do? Put your hands up. 1 foot back. If they get too close to you, now I'm not going to have you do this with an adult because it'll just probably get you hurt. But if this is another kid, they get too close to you, push. And it doesn't matter if they go back or you go back, you're trying to create space between you and that person. Now, kids, we have a bunch of good kids in here, and I think overall you're very, very trusting kids, okay? But I'm trying to teach you to be careful. What am I trying to teach you to do? Be careful. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to what? I'm trying to prepare you, okay? Parents in this room, this is what you need to teach your kids. Now, some kids are just very trusting. They're very affectionate, right? We still need to be careful. Now, this has been a while ago, but I remember I had the bench, you know, our bench that I have out there, and it was sitting out in front of the church. And I was preparing to go to lunch, and I was sitting on this bench. And this couple came walking by, and they had a little boy that was a little younger than Shiloh. I bet he was 5. Shiloh, you're 6 now, right? You're right? I think he was probably about 5 would be my guess. And I can't remember, he had some kind of toy or something. And I was sitting on the bench and the parents came walking by and I was talking to the parents and this little guy just crawled right up on the bench next to me and just started having this conversation with me. Well, that's great. I'm the pastor of this church, right? I'm a trustworthy person. But if I were those parents, I would not have allowed that. I would have very carefully said, okay, come over here now because I know I'm trustworthy, but they don't know me from anybody. All right? So I love it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Trust is a wonderful thing. But we live in a dangerous world, do we not? We live in a very dangerous world, okay? And everything gets sexualized in our culture, all right? And so even when kids don't even understand what that means, adults are trying to introduce these things to them. And you know that this is happening in our culture, okay? All right. And so finally, storge. I've already kind of introduced all of this. Go to the next slide, ladies. There it is. Thank you. Storge is just affection, okay? It's any type of personal relationship, and you're going to share some sort of affection or connection in that relationship. Whether it's need or gift love, it's dependent on the primary love association, okay? So I may be sharing something and I'm giving something to somebody. Let me ask you this. Have you ever shared eye contact, a handshake, or even a hug with someone that you just really didn't like? You ever done that before? It might be a relative. I mean, this is somebody that you've been close to, you know them your whole life, you trust them, but you just really don't like them. Do you have relationships with people that you don't like? Of course you do. A lot of times it can be on the job, right? It's like you got to work with these people all the time, but they're just, you don't like them. You don't have any sense of affection, but you realize that if you're going to share with them and care for them, then you've got to share something. So the attention, the eye contact, the handshake, the squeeze on the shoulder, even a side hug. And I may not even like the person, but I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Right? So that's where that can happen. The purpose is attachment and emotional expression. So with every kind of love, there's a degree of attachment. And in fact, I think Dallas Willis, the theologian and philosopher and Christian that wrote The Divine Conspiracy, he came to the conclusion at the end of his life that attachment was central to love, right? You become somehow attached to that person. Perhaps the better term would be connection. All right. The scope is universal. You can share some kind of affection with anybody. In fact, I bet you share affection with your dog. How many of you all have dogs? Do you hug your dog? Do you kiss your dog? You better not let your dog stick his tongue in your mouth. People do. You may love your dog, but have you seen what your dog does with his tongue? Don't do it. Don't do it, all right? Yeah, so you can even share affection with, you know, an animal, all right? Be careful with this. The condition is limited by the other person's acceptance and the primary type of love expressed. I think I shared this. I can't remember when I shared this, but I shared this recently. Throughout youth ministry, I had different kinds of kids in my youth ministry. I had kids that were very affectionate, and I had kids that were very kind of cool. Like they just didn't really want that. And they weren't trying to be too cool. It was just obvious that they were not comfortable with that. And I don't mean with just me. I mean with anybody. And so you don't go running up on somebody like that. Oh, come on, give me a hug, right? If a kid, listen, kids, you have control over your own body and your own mind. If even one of your relatives comes up to you and they start getting physical with you, right? They may not mean anything by it, but if it makes you uncomfortable, just tell them, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that. Please don't do that. Okay? You need to have control over your own body, right? So the person that you share the affection with needs to be accepting of that affection, okay? The commitment for storge is sincerity, okay? You don't share a hug with somebody that you would rather punch in the face, right? You're lying to them. I had a kid in this youth group for a while. And this kid would, I can't tell you how many girls he told me he kissed. And he was like 12. It's like, what are you telling that girl with that kiss? Okay. What he was doing was seeing who he could get to let him kiss them. There was no love being shared there, right? A kiss is sharing a connection. And if you don't intend to have that kind of connection, then it's not appropriate. And I would say this, I think hugs are fine. I think if you get to know somebody, a kiss on the cheek is fine. But all of this stuff where we're starting to use kissing as some sort of a badge of honor. Yeah, she kissed me. I kissed her. Whatever. Not right. Okay? Sincerity needs to be there. And the distance, again, is dependent on the primary love. Okay? So let's go all the way back. Let's circle all the way back around to the main definition of love, which is that bottom layer, okay, agape love. Every kind of love springs out of that kind of love. Every kind of relationship that you have needs to be based on that God love. Well, who gives us the best example of God's love? Jesus. See that cross behind me back there? That's God's love. Jesus came and he died to prove that he loves you. He died on the cross, even though you and I deserve for our sin to die. That's why people die. The soul that sins will surely die. We all sin, so we all die. Jesus paid the price of sin, which is death, rose from the dead, conquered that. And now when you allow Christ to come, what do we say? Jesus in my, you want to know the best way to guard your heart? Get Jesus in your heart. That's the best way to guard. Then Jesus guards your heart. Okay, the Holy Spirit is going to give you that sensitivity as to whether you need to trust that person, whether you need to let them in or not. Okay, so God is love and Jesus is proof of that love. And I hope that you have paid attention, that the Lord has instructed you, that you will evaluate all your relationships in accordance with this. And I hope that you will realize that the only way that you're going to share pure love is to receive God's love. Open your heart and let Christ come in. Let Jesus come into your heart, and then he will guard your heart.